turn to Book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Book of Hebrews, chapter 11. I'd like to read verses 13 through verse 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things, that is, declare that they're pilgrims and strangers on the earth, they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. In other words, this world's not their home. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. As you read through Hebrews chapter 11, you will notice two phrases that occur throughout, and that is by faith and through faith. We see in verse 2, for by it, referring back to faith. We see in verse 3, through faith. Verse 4, by faith. Verse 5, by faith. Verse 7, by faith. Verse 8, by faith. Verse 9. Verse 11, we see through faith. Verse 17, we see again by faith. And we see it again in verse 20. See it again in verse 21, verse 22, verse 23. See it again in verse 27. Verse 28, we have through faith. Verse 30, verse 31, we have by faith. Verse 33, we have through faith. And in the latter part of verse 39, we have through faith. By faith, through faith, the word by and the word through, of course, carries the idea of the means of accomplishing something. So we see throughout Hebrews chapter 11, we are told that it is by faith that men and women were able to accomplish certain things. And what we have here in Hebrews chapter 11 really is just a record of ordinary men and ordinary women who were enabled to do the extraordinary by the means of faith. We see that it is a record of ordinary men and women who really made a difference with their life and their death. And they did so, again, by and through faith. What we have here in Hebrews chapter 11 is a record of men and women who were a blessing. Men and women who were an encouragement and who have been a testimony to the children of God throughout the ages. It was all by faith, through faith. So it seems to me that Hebrews chapter 11 is a record of the impact that faith has upon one's life. It is a record of the power of faith. Faith has power. The workings of faith. The achievements of faith. We want to speak tonight on the subject of the impact of faith. The impact of faith. Now, here in Hebrews 11, as we've seen in the past, we have a definition of faith. And a Bible definition is better than any dictionary definition. But we have a biblical definition of faith. We read in verse 1 the first three words, now faith is. Now faith is. If anyone ever asks the question, what is faith? Hebrews 11 verse 1, now faith is. And then what follows, of course, is the definition of faith. He tells us that faith is the substance. That is, faith is the realization. It is what gives meaning. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That is, faith causes us the things hoped for to be a reality. Faith causes the things hoped for to have meaning. And it goes on to say it's not only the substance of things hoped for, but it's the evidence. It is the evidence. That is, it's the proof. It's the proof. You cannot prove God to an atheist. You can't do it. You can't, because you cannot bring God forth so he can see. Faith is the proof. We know there's a God. We believe what the Bible says about him. Faith is our proof. That's all the proof we need. They don't have to find Noah's Ark for me to believe Genesis chapter 6. Because faith is the proof. Faith is the conviction of things not seen. Things not seen, that is the invisible. So from that definition in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, we see that faith gives present reality to eternal things. It gives present reality to spiritual things. It is the conviction, it is the persuasion of the reality of the invisible, of the unseen. So faith enables one to live in the reality of eternity. Enables one to live in the reality of what the human eye cannot see. So the writer of Hebrews gives us a definition, a simple definition of faith. He also speaks or stresses the importance of faith. It is said in verse 2, for by it, faith, the elders, those who have gone on before, obtained a good report or a good testimony. So faith and a good testimony go hand in hand. We are told in verse 3, through faith, we understand. Through faith, it's not just through faith we believe. It is through faith we understand. We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That God brought everything forth by just speaking. Through faith, we're able to understand. Through faith, we are able to understand spiritual truths. So faith and spiritual understanding go hand in hand. We are told in verse 6 that without faith, and faith here is the faith previously defined, without that kind of faith, it is impossible to please him. So now we see pleasing God and faith go hand in hand. We're also told in verse 6, for he that cometh to God must believe, that's faith, that he is. So coming to God and faith go hand in hand. We're also told in verse 6 that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Who is it that's going to seek him? Those who have faith. So, seeking God and faith go hand in hand. From all of this, we learn that the eternal and the invisible becomes real. If you want the eternal and the invisible to become real, you need faith. If you want to have a good testimony, you need faith. If you want to understand spiritual truths, you need faith. You can become too smart for your own good. Faith enables us to understand. If you want to please God, you're going to need faith. If you're going to come to God, you're going to need faith. If you're going to seek God, you're going to need faith. It's no wonder the apostles in Luke 11 and verse 1 prayed to the Lord, "Lord, increase our faith." They realized the importance. They realized the greatness of faith. Now, in our text here in Hebrews 11 verse 13, these all, that would refer back to Abel, who we are told sacrificed by faith. It would refer back to Enoch, and we are told that he walked with God by faith. It would refer back to Noah, who did the work of God by faith. It would refer back to Abraham, who obeyed God by faith, and it would refer back to Sarah, who trusted in the faithfulness of God. These all goes back to those who have been previously mentioned prior to verse 13. Though what is said here in our text refers directly back to these individuals, I believe it applies to all that are mentioned in this chapter. I mean, you can put these verses at the end of the chapter. These all, in a wide range, refers to everyone mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. These all, and what follows those two words, there are seven things or seven ways that follow these all. Seven ways in which faith impacted their lives. And as we look tonight at these seven ways that faith impacted their lives, I believe we can, or we ought to, examine and measure our own faith. And we can pretty much determine by looking at these seven things if faith has an impact upon our lives. The word faith is thrown around today and means very little. Oh, he's a man of faith. Faith in what? Faith in what? And it just come to mean almost nothing, or come to mean almost anything. But we want to look at seven things tonight concerning the impact that faith had on these lights. I want to speak again on the impact of faith. The first thing we want to notice is the impact of the faith caused them to persevere. It says there in verse 13, these all died in faith. Now, before they died, they had to live. You can't die without living. So we know that they not only died in faith, they lived in faith. That speaks of perseverance. They lived and died in faith. What that means is that they lived and died depending upon the Lord. They lived and died trusting in the Lord. They lived and died leaning upon the Lord. That includes everything between life and death. They lived and died believing the Lord. They lived and died with confidence in the Lord. They lived and died having assurance concerning the things of God. They lived and died seeing the invisible, knowing for certain the things of eternity. They lived and died coming to God. They lived and died seeking and desiring the Lord. They lived and died expressing their faith. Again, we see by faith Abel offered. That is, he expressed his faith. By faith Enoch was, he expressed his faith. And you get the point. They lived and died expressing their faith. These were men and women, Sarah being mentioned, in which faith had an impact upon them, their lives, such an impact that they were able to endure. They were able to persevere through all the trials, through all the difficulties and adversities and obstacles and all the opposition. Did they lack in faith at times? Certainly they did. But these were men and women who were able to persevere in their life because they had faith. Faith will enable you to persevere. Faith will give you the ability to keep going. What you and I know of God enables us to keep going no matter what. That's faith. That's the impact of faith. Faith is not just a doctrinal statement. That will not keep you going. But faith that is explained here in Hebrews 11 and verse 1, that will cause you to endure. That will enable you to persevere. These all died in faith. They lived and they died in faith. Secondly, the impact of their faith made them willing to wait. Notice again in verse 13, not having received the promises. That is, before they died, they never saw the fulfillment of the promises. They did not receive the fulfillment of the promises. But they had a faith. They had a faith that said, I believe. I believe the promises of God. They may never be fulfilled in my lifetime, but I believe it anyway. But I believe it anyway. And because I believe it, whether or not I receive it in this life, I am willing to wait. I am willing to wait God's time. They had a faith that said, I'm willing that it should be fulfilled, that the promises should be fulfilled when God intends for them to be fulfilled. That may be after we're gone, but you keep believing anyway. They had a faith that enabled them to wait. There aren't many today, and I'm speaking of God's people, who have the ability to wait. Because it takes faith to wait. They were willing to wait. They not only believed, but they were willing to wait for God's time. Do you have to receive it in order to believe it? That's not faith. Faith believes it whether you receive the fulfillment of the promise or not. It is a faith that enjoys the things promised even before we come into actual possession of the things promised. It is a faith that gives us a happiness simply in the expectation and the anticipation of what is promised. And these individuals mentioned, they had this kind, faith had this kind of impact upon their life. It was a faith that made the promises of God so real that though they had not yet obtained the promises, they were willing to wait. That's real faith. They were willing to wait. I ask you tonight, do you possess a faith that is willing to wait for God's timing? You see, our unbelief gets us in a lot of trouble. We bring a lot of problems into our life simply because of unbelief. It is unbelief that is always trying to make things happen. Faith doesn't need to do that, because faith knows God will make it happen. But it's unbelief. We've got to make something happen. And some people get so desperate, it doesn't matter what happens, good or bad, something just got to happen. That's ignorant. Faith is willing to wait. It is unbelief that has always got to help God out. Well, things aren't happening. We've got to do something. We've got to act. We've got to help the Lord out. No, faith says, I believe what God has said, and I'm willing to wait God's timing. That's the impact of faith. It makes us willing to wait. Thirdly, the impact of their faith enabled them to see afar off. Again, verse 13, but having, though they had not received the promises, they seen them. They saw the promises. They didn't have to receive them. They didn't have to have them in their hands in order to see them. It says they were able to see the promises afar off. And in the midst of a dark world, in the midst of a world of trouble and testing and trials, in a world of struggles, a world of need, in a world of evil, in a world of wickedness, in a world of hatred against God and hatred against the things of God, in a world where God is not honored, God is not admired, God is not sought, and in a world where the promises of God are not relied upon, and in a place where the truth of God is not sought, and in a place where the word of God is not obeyed, these individuals could see what no one else could see. They could see it. Faith enables us to see. To see the invisible. Faith can see further than the human eye. Faith can see what the human eye cannot see. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So there's a contrast between faith and human sight. You don't have to see something with the eye to believe. Faith can see. So faith isn't blind. Faith is able to see afar off. So far off that faith is able to see things of eternity. Faith can see that. It can see beyond all circumstances. Faith can see beyond the here and now. Faith can see God. Faith can see God ruling and reigning. And though there are times, from the human standpoint, it does not appear that anyone's in control. But faith sees God ruling. Faith enables us to see. The problem with so many of God's people is the only thing they can see is what's right in front of them. But faith is able to see afar off. Afar off. No matter how many things get in the way, faith has the ability to look beyond it all and see. So I ask you tonight, how far can you see? How far can you see? Abraham, we're told in John chapter 6, saw the day of Christ. He saw far off. He could see it. He could see what others could not see. Fourthly, we see the impact of their faith made them very, very sure. It says they were persuaded of them. They were persuaded of the promises of God. That is, they had assurance. They had confidence. They had a conviction that these promises were so. Though they themselves did not receive the promises, though they themselves never saw the promises fulfilled, they had this assurance, they had this conviction that the promises were so. Faith made them sure. They were so impacted by their faith that they were persuaded, no matter what the circumstances. Sad to say, it doesn't take much to cause a lot of folks to stop believing. Doesn't take much. That's because, and that speaks volumes concerning the degree of our persuasion. If the only time we're persuaded is when things are going our way, folks, that's true of the lost man also. You don't have any more than the lost man if that's the case. These men were persuaded. They did not receive the fulfillment, but that did not lessen their conviction. That did not lessen their assurance. And God, there are many promises in God's word. And God does not always give us, in fact, very rarely, does God just give us these things and fulfill these promises immediately. We have to wait. And through the waiting, that should not dampen our persuasion. That should not dampen our conviction. Examine our own faith. Examine the degree of our own persuasion. What are we more sure of? What are we more certain of? What we can see with the human eye, or what we can see by faith? What is it that we're most assured of? How persuaded are we of the promises of God? Do we have to receive the fulfillment in order to be persuaded? These individuals received not the fulfillment of the promises, yet they were persuaded. Are we so persuaded that we're inclined to lean all our weight upon what the human eye cannot see? Or are we more persuaded to lean all of our weight upon what we can see? We have to answer those questions individually. Are we so persuaded that we are inclined to cast all of our cares upon Him? Are we so persuaded to be willing to let go of that which is earthly, of that which is temporal? When faith has an impact on our lives, there is a tremendous persuading force. We are sure. Well, why are you sure? You haven't received the fulfillment of that promise. What makes you so sure? Faith. Simply because God said it. We're persuaded. We're convicted. Fifthly, the impact of the faith brought rejoicing into their lives. It says here that they, in verse 13, that they embraced them. Again, the them is referring to the promises that were not fulfilled in their lifetime. They embraced the promises. Now, many look at that word embraced and they think of just holding on to, but there's more to it than that. Think of embracing. When you greet someone, many times you embrace. That they embraced the promises means that they greeted the promises. They saw the promises afar off and they welcomed them into their lives. Somebody comes into your home, unless it's a thief, if it's a friend, you might embrace them. You are welcoming them. These men and women embraced the promises of God. That is, they welcomed them into their lives. To embrace is also an expression of affection. It is an expression of love. It means to hug, to hold, to cling, to cradle, to accept. You embrace someone, you are accepting them. You embrace someone, you are receiving them. They embraced the promises. They accepted them. They received them. They cradled them. And no doubt this brought them great joy. I believe God is very, very well pleased when His people take what the Word of God says and embrace it. That is, they receive it. They welcome it into their lives. And it's faith that enables us to embrace the things of God. We need to examine the impact of faith in our lives. What is it that we are embracing? Temporal things? Spiritual things? There are many, I've seen it happen countless times, who will give up, who will let go of spiritual things long, long before they'll let go of some temporal thing. Are they not embracing that temporal thing? Certainly they are. Faith causes us to embrace spiritual things. Does the heart embrace only what we can see with the physical eye? What we can touch with our hands? What we can handle? Or does our heart and mind embrace invisible things, spiritual things? What do we welcome into our lives more? Temporal things or spiritual things? The reason that we, and I'm not speaking we here, but collectively of so-called Christianity, the reason that we're in the mess we're in is because people are more likely to welcome and receive temporal things in their lives than they are spiritual things. But faith has such an impact that we receive spiritual things. Sixthly, the impact of their faith produced a sense of detachment from the world. It says in verse 13 that they confessed, that is, they outwardly confessed, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. A stranger is a foreigner. It's someone who is away from his home. A foreigner likely is not to be fully accepted unless he conforms to the country in which he's visiting. That's true of God's people. Faith enables us to be detached from this world. Even though we know that we're not going to be fully accepted, we're not going to be appreciated. In fact, a lot of people will avoid foreigners. They will avoid them. If you and I live like we ought to, there will be people who will avoid us. It may be your own parents. It may be your own brothers and sisters. You say, I can't handle that. Then you don't have faith. Faith has such an impact that you confess openly. You're not ashamed of it. I'm a stranger. I don't belong here. This isn't my home. I have another country. I have a home. So unless, again, a foreigner is very easily identified unless they conform. I mean, if they conform in dress, they begin to conform in speech, they begin to conform in customs, they begin to form in habits, pretty soon they just blend in and they're accepted. That's what happens spiritually also. Children of God, they begin to conform. They begin to conform in dress. They begin to conform in speech. They begin to conform to customs and habits. And pretty soon, just like the Israelites and the Canaanites, you can't tell them apart. They blended in. But faith has such an impact that we're willing to confess we're strangers. That is, our appearance is different. Our speech is different. Our way of life is different. Our thought process is different. Everything's different. Faith doesn't have a problem with that. Faith also confesses that one is a pilgrim. Now, a pilgrim is just simply one who's traveling through. The pilgrim never feels at home, and he never carries anything with him that would be an encumbrance to him because he's just traveling through. We're picking up encumbrances all the time because we really don't believe that we're just passing through. A pilgrim is just passing through, steadily working his way toward the goal. And you see, a faith that has an impact will keep this world from becoming your home. You will outwardly confess that I am a pilgrim. It will keep you from driving your stakes too far into the ground. I believe And I've thought about this for about 9 months now, and I'm eventually going to preach on it. But I believe that all of us, to a degree, some more than others, are not able to worship God. We're not even able. We're not capable. Because we dug our stakes too far into the ground. To worship God, you have to come out from the world. And I don't know if any of us are capable to come out far enough where we can really worship the Lord. It's sad. It bothers me greatly. Again, I'm referring to myself as much as anyone else. We're pilgrims. We're just passing through. You know what's sad? We that are adults, not only have we dug our stakes too far into the ground, we've encouraged our children to do the same thing. And they're not capable of worshiping God either. So now we have the present. We're not capable of worshiping God, and those who are coming up aren't capable of really, truly worshiping the Lord. And by worship, I mean a biblical definition of worship. And if you look at worship biblically, I don't think we're capable of doing it. I really don't. And that's sad. But faith will prevent us from digging, from putting our stakes too far into the ground. There are people who have put their stakes so far into the ground, many preachers include it, that they can't even follow God's will. Well, I can't go there. I've got a job. Your stake's too far in the ground. If God's telling you to go, you better go. And there are many whose stakes are way too far in the ground. Seventhly and lastly, the impact of their faith caused them to seek and desire something different from all the rest. We see this in verse 14 through verse 16. For they that say such things, that is, they confess that we are strangers and pilgrims, declare plainly that they seek a country. That they seek something else. If we have such faith that it makes us strangers and pilgrims in this world, what we are declaring plainly to all the world is we have something else that we are seeking. We're not looking for the same things that the world is looking for. But look at our lives. Many times we're looking for the exact same things that the world is looking for. The world is looking for security in material things. And God's people aren't exempt. But these individuals' faith had such an impact upon their lives, it declared, we are looking for something different. We're hunting for something different. We're sniffing out something different. We're pursuing something different. The impact of faith causes us to seek something different than the rest of the world. The problem today is that many children of God are looking for the exact same things the world's looking for. They're searching. They're hunting. They're pursuing the things of the world. But the child of God who has this kind of faith that makes them strangers and pilgrims, they seek a country. That is, they seek something that is beyond. They seek something that is out of this world. They seek what this world cannot give.
And it doesn't take long for the one who possesses faith to realize that what I want and what I seek, this world cannot give. Doesn't take long. They seek what God has prepared for them. Now notice that not only did their faith cause them to seek something different than the rest of the world, but their faith had such an impact upon their lives, it made them unmindful of where they came from. It says, verse 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, faith had such an impact that they were unmindful of the world. That's the impact, that's the power of faith. And it says, had they been mindful, no, there's a message here, of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Who are those that are going to return to where they came out of? Those who are mindful of that country. Those who are still thinking about that country. And that's where you are tonight. You're just thinking of Egypt. You keep thinking that. And you will return. You will return to Egypt. Well, how do we not think about it? Faith. Faith makes us unmindful. Faith, to be unmindful simply means we don't care about those things. Those things have no meaning to us. I don't want to go back to Egypt. Don't want to go there. Faith causes us to be unmindful of that country. You know, I get suspicious of people who are always talking about how rotten they were when they were lost. I mean, they talk about their lost days more than they do their saved days. Makes me wonder. Really does. Now I understand. You can give a testimony and you can tell what God brought you out of. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that are always talking, almost bragging. Not almost bragging. They are bragging about how evil and wicked they were. Seems to me they're still mindful of that place. And they will go back. They've already gone back in their mind. Their feet just haven't caught up with their mind yet. But it will. But faith has such an impact that it causes us to seek something different. It causes us to be unmindful. We're far too mindful of the things of this world. I mean, we're in pitiful shape. We really are. And again, I include myself. When we can get all worked up about a sports team, we've got a problem. We really do. And I'm sorry, again, getting back to that, you can't worship God. You can't. It's not even possible. We read three times in the New Testament, Romans 1, 17, Galatians 3, verse 11, Hebrews 10, 38. The just shall live by faith. The justified shall live by faith. There are no parameters set. It just simply, the justified shall live by faith. In times of strength, we're to live by faith. In times of weakness, we're to live by faith. In times of joy, we're to live by faith. In times of sadness, we're to live by faith. In times of rest, in times of difficulty, we're to live by faith. Doesn't matter. We are to live by faith. In times of health, in times of sickness, we're to live by faith. In times of abundance, in times of poverty, we are to live by faith. in the presence of enemies and in the presence of friends. We are to live by faith. Nothing changes that. Nothing changes the fact that you and I are to live by faith. And as we've seen tonight, faith is a force. It has an impact upon our life. And really, our living for the Lord is really in proportion to our faith. Our dedication to the Lord is in proportion to our faith. Our conformity to the Lord, same thing. And on and on and on we can go. Our obedience to the Lord. Faith is so important. Our prayer life takes faith to keep praying. To keep praying. When you receive no answer, these individuals, again, they did not receive the fulfillment of the promises. And you might pray for something your whole life and never receive the answer. But you pray anyway. That's faith. You keep on praying. It's doubt. It's human reasoning that says, well, what's the use? God hasn't heard me in 20 years. Faith just keeps on believing. Believing enough that you just keep on praying. I don't believe that you can separate faith from our enjoyment of the Lord. I don't believe you can separate faith from our peace and our assurance. I don't believe that you can separate faith from our spiritual energy and endurance. Faith is vital. Faith is so important. I remember preaching, Lord, increase our faith. And a woman came up to me and said, I will never pray that prayer. Do you know how dangerous that is to pray that prayer, Brother Dan? If you really want faith, you'll pray. Lord, whatever it takes, increase my faith. If we're not willing to ask God to increase our faith, don't say, I want more faith. You only want more faith in that case as long as it's done your way. As long as it meets your criteria. But Lord, increase my faith. There isn't anyone here that does not need every single day an increase in faith. Every time I sit down and watch the news, I got to pray, Lord, increase my faith. Oh, it's sickening. And it is somewhat frightening. Lord, increase my faith. We need to keep praying that. Oh, that God would give us faith that would have an impact upon our lives. What's the use of faith if it doesn't impact your life? It's useless. It's worthless. We want a faith that has an impact upon our life. Many today, politicians and many, many, many others, they're not the only ones. They use faith, the word faith, to get what they want. But we need a faith that really has an impact. An impact upon our lives. Brother Larry, if you come and lead us in verse 7.